Folder 88, December 1980. 8810, December 10th, 1980. I did not start out seeing God, i.e. 2374, and this theophany led to my 6.5 years of exegesis, futile exegesis of 2374, based on the delusion that I had seen God. What actually happened was that I saw world in a highly superior way, but still world. It had something to do with entropic time and my exhausting entropic time through in by the dialectic, until a massive enantiodromia occurred. I pulled world through infinity, i.e., into negentropic time morphological arrangement. Plato's Idy. But I took this ultimate view of reality as a vision of God, and so fell into a terrible trap, both epistemologically, philosophically, metaphysically, and also theologically, spiritually. For example, I supposed a pantheism a la Spinoza. But my main point, which I intended to be the last page of my exegesis, is I thought the sequence went 1. Theophany, 2374, followed by 2. Exegesis of that theophany, 374 to 1180. But in fact, this is correct. 1. Exegesis, 374 to 1180, followed by 2. Theophany, 1117-80. In other words, this exegesis came before the theophany. The exegesis finally reached the conclusion that everything I had seen in 2374 had to do with world, a perturbation in the reality field, except a glint of color in the weeds of the alley and a ripple of wind, which was, even this was, not God but just the tracings, glyphs, footprint of God on reality. Thereupon, i.e., as a result of this realization, 1180, I then experienced a true theophany, and I construe what happened this way. 1. The world is delusional, Maya. 2. In my 10-volume meta-novel, I saw this to be the case, saw world as a mere delusion, and I looked for reality, true reality, behind, beyond it. 3. Therefore, obligingly, the arch-deluder served me up a further delusion, 2374, much more complex and sophisticated, based on my own particular preconceptions, anticipations, suppositions, as to what true reality would be like if you could see it. This is why 2374 was a playback of my own mind to me, which every now and then I suspected. But I kept thinking, well, it only goes to show how astute my intimations were. 2374 was enchantment. Yes, it is so. However, this sudden transformation in world in 2374 did show that world as we normally see it is indeed a delusion. It's just that what replaced normal world was no more real, just more sophisticated and complex, and to me, not just more convincing, but totally convincing. I believed for over 6.5 years that I had seen true reality in contradistinction to the previous Maya. But, as I say, it was just a more cunning Maya. As I say in Valis, the maze is alive and it changes. Okay, finally, in the exegesis, I realized that I had seen nothing of what I had in 2374 assumed I had seen, which is to say God. It was world, and world is, by my own definition and analysis, irreal and delusive. I was, without knowing it, even more embroiled in world than ever, than the most ordinary average person is, and I construe this as Satan's wiles, the a posteriori horn of the dialectic. God gave him free rein. Satan could not see where it was leading, but God, with his a priori knowledge, could. It led me to God in this way. On 11-17-80, God actually manifested himself and presented me with logical arguments and analysis as to how I could know I had this time in truth experienced him. His argument lay in one line, the argument to infinity. Would I accept an equation between God and infinity? We had to agree on a premise, some postulate or other, some definition. He said, I can provide you with an infinitude of bliss, not just great bliss, but infinite bliss. And this infinite bliss that you will feel derives from my personality and essence of loving kindness, agape. Will you accept that only God possesses an essence, aine, of agape, that would cause you an infinitude of bliss? I agreed, and it came to pass. I experienced his personality and essence of agape. I felt infinite bliss. There were no complexities, no enigmatic epistemological puzzles, no enchantment or magic, only a wise, loving old man, an individual human, except that everything about him extended into infinity along all axes. Wisdom, love, power, personality, intimate gentleness, yet firmness, and eternity, unchanged simplicity. He concealed nothing from me. He played no games. He explained the relation between my life in this world and what it would be in the next, in terms of his theodicy. This was another and fundamental absolute, his theodicy. It, he said, is a promise from which we can draw conclusions, rather than starting elsewhere, e.g. in world, and reasoning to it. It is structurally, i.e. logically, related to his nature, agape, i.e. anything but theodicy, absolute theodicy, would be incommensurate with infinite agape. A major point that he made was that I was not employing analytical logic, vis-a-vis 2374, but was instead engaging in creative speculation, which led to infinite regresses over and over again. Thus, as I say, he offered as a substitute, one, an agreement on one premise, and then, two, logical deductions from the one agreed-upon premise. He taught me to analyze and not speculate. And he was, I should remind myself, he who is customarily meant by the term God, i.e., the transcendent, loving, wise God of my fathers, both one wills and two allows, i.e., allows error, i.e., independence to his creatures, free will. And this is logically deducible from his nature, agape, because he would never infringe on the integrity and autonomy, which is to say, the essence of his creatures. If he only willed and did not allow, he would de facto rob them, us, of our aine. So this too logically stems from his nature, and my realization of this is not speculation, creative speculation. My exegesis, then, is both a delusion in which I am trapped and, in addition, a delusion I am creating for others, i.e. in Valis. But he allows this in order to protect my integrity, aine. Note. Even in his most megalomaniac moments, Dick never suggests that the exegesis itself will ever be read. But the fact that, improbably, we are reading these lines gives the question he poses here and elsewhere, what is the value of all this thinking, a certain urgency for us as well. If the exegesis is his delusion and hell chore, it is now ours too. Dick is never more honest nor more passionate than when he's questioning, then defending, the solitary path of inquiry that has become his life. As bitterly as he complains of the emotional and physical cost, again and again he reaffirms his commitment to tracing this maze that is also a work of art and a route to God. But what is it for us? This question was often in my mind as I read the 8,000 manuscript pages that shared my Berkeley apartment these past years. How many exegeses are tucked away in attics never to be read? Should they be read? Might some of them be as brilliant as Dick's, and no more delusional? It is Dick's larger life's work that has rescued these traces of an intellectual journey that most likely would otherwise have been consigned to the recycling bin. Thus, his solitary path becomes, for a while, our own. The first rule of this particular ordeal is, you must go where the inquiry leads. Yet that means, of course, that you must question the inquiry itself. The temptation, I frequently felt it myself, will be to come down on one side or the other of the dilemma that Dick here states in characteristically metaphysical terms, hell chore or road to God. But the dilemma may be unresolvable, one of those matched pairs of irreconcilable opposites that Dick loves to discover are driving the universe. It is road to God and hell chore, divine path and curse. P.J. End note. Thus, to summarize delusion, super-sophisticated satanic delusion, i.e. 2374, led to a futile exegesis, a hell chore, punishment that he allowed Satan to inflict on me. But, okay. A chicken is an egg's way of producing another egg, viz., the primary delusion enchantment of 2374 led to the further delusion, second delusion, of the futile exegesis. I was totally trapped in Maya, led there by my own original suspicions, ironically, that what we see is delusion. But the second delusion, the exegesis, exhausted itself finally, glint of color, ripple of weeds in the alley, whereupon a true and self-authenticating theophany did then occur. And it bore no resemblance to 2374 whatsoever. Obviously, if the God of 111780 were genuine, and as I say, this theophany was self-authenticating based on one premise and two logical deductions from the premise, then 2374 was something else. Well, it was enchantment and magic. It was a spell, and enchantment, magic, and spell do not reveal. But on the contrary, addle the wits. I was, as I say, fed what, one, I would most likely believe, and two, wanted to believe, a bad combination that does not lead to the truth, i.e. to God. However, Satan had to generate a reality I'd accept to reveal a great deal about reality to me. But he took the risk knowing I would confuse it with God, which I did. Basically, what he revealed is that my 10-volume metanovel and its basic acosmism is correct. What we call reality is some kind of projected hologram and not real at all. We can be made to see anything and believe anything. Viz., in 2374, I decomposed, desubstantialized reality, which is an epistemological victory. But then I completely believed in what I saw instead. I said, world, which is irreal, and which I suspected all along is irreal, broke down and conceded that it is irreal. So what I see now instead must be real. But it wasn't. Must be that which I define as real, God. It was not. It was just a more sophisticated delusion. My years of skepticism turned into naive credulity. I saw God, I said, for over 6.5 years, but in fact I did not. All I really saw was the projection machine, and the projection broke down, whereupon it compensated by devising another and better projection, to which I should have said, aha, it tricks me further. But instead I said, aha, now I see what is really there, God, immanent God, probably Brahman. I was not applying logic, deductive logic, e.g., if it can project first one reality, USA 1974, and then another, acts, it can project anything, that anything being Valis. Epistemologically, what I really know is all negatives, that what we see is not real, and that we cannot by our own efforts outwit the projection machinery. It can serve up one thing after another, ever more cunning and psychomorphic. I am as you desire me. Valis is a hodgepodge of superstition and sensational nonsense, and yet, mixed in with the inferior bulk, Sophia has inserted, without Satan knowing it, certain truths, i.e., we fell into the maze, and the maze is alive, it changes, thus rendering null and void all speculation as to the real nature, morphology of the maze, if you think about it. And this insertion was added after I was done, due to something Pat Warwick suggested. Where I started to wise up vis-a-vis 2374 in terms of my exegesis was when I remembered that in the Bardo-Total trip, your own prior thought formations come back to you as world, which I wrote about in Frozen Journey, and that was based on ideas of Lems. And the God who revealed himself to me on 11-17-80 is quite different from my own prior thought formations. He is the Orthodox, transcendent, Judeo-Christian Heavenly Father, loving and wise, who allows free will. This world is an ordeal, but we all go to him in the end. He wins all of us, in the dialectic with Satan, eventually, and he knows this, due to his a priori knowledge. 88-23, December 15th, 1980. Vallis, set ground, camouflage. Here in the universe, macrosoma blended into the universe in countless ways, here and there, a glint here, a word on a page, plural objects and their causal processes, a ripple of wind in the weeds in the alley. Vallis is not the universe, but blended into it, as is Ubik. I am Atman that dwells in the heart of every mortal. I am Vishnu, I am Shiva. Among words, I am the sacred syllable Om. I am Himalaya. I am the holy fig tree. Among horses, I am. Of weapons, I am the wind. The shark among fish. Ganges among the rivers. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of creation. I am the knowledge of things spiritual. I am the logic of those who debate. In the alphabet, I am A. Among compounds, I am the copulative. I am time without end. I am the sustainer. My face is everywhere. I am death that snatches all. I also am the source of all that shall be born. I am glory, prosperity, beautiful speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and forgiveness. I am the dice play of the cunning. I am the strength of the strong, I am triumph and perseverance. I am the purity of the good, I am Krishna. I am the scepter and the mastery of those who rule, the policy of those who seek to conquer. I am the silence of things secret. I am the knowledge of the knower. I am the divine seed of all that lives. In this world, nothing animate or inanimate exists without me. 88-24. My problem is too much intellect and too little awe and reverence. What I have to realize is that both 2374 and 11-17-80 are self-authenticating. 88-54. But consider the aspect of the ancient in Vallis. In a sense, it is so. In a sense, it is an illusion. The template was devised a long time ago, but it applies to the now. That is the whole point. One, it is ancient, and two, it applies to the now. This is both the paradox and the revelation. The secret is here, how the ancient can be the now. If you can understand this, you have the answer. 88-57. God was aware of me. He ratified my Aine by His love. He created it. He caused me to be. That is it. His agape caused to be. This is how you cause to be. By agape and agape alone. Love is a wish that the other, and not you, exist. Love guarantees the existence of what is not under your will, free of your will. This is true creation. He desires that something other than Him exist and be itself. We truly are not Him. Agape and creating are one and the same. It is not a desire for union. It is a desire to see something be on its own self. Each separate self is a universe, a world. God adores you because He adores beauty. Something that exists on its own is beautiful. This is the ultimate beauty, that it be free. Where amid the shadowy green, the little ones of the forest come unseen. Note. From Gilbert Murray's translation of Euripides, the Bacchae. End note. It is not God. It is not pantheism. The ultimate love, to curtail the ubiquity of the Godhead. Null ubique is the truth, the solution to the absolute mystery. To not be the universe, each reunion is accidental and a reminder of the source of being, love. Love lets go, forgets. Love curtails itself, withdraws. But if the created separate thing, Ine, returns of its own accord, love triumphs over love. Love is love for itself alone, and not for what it can do, create. The prodigal son, if the separate thing desires to return and forfeit its Ine, then it must love too, and the two, God and his creation, are joined. This is absolute bliss, that Ine is not enough. The creature longs to return. This is rapture for God, that it wishes this, that created, it wishes and tries to return through the maze. It tries so hard. This is his reward. He gave it Ine, and it voluntarily surrenders Ine. Sign, in favor of non-being, i.e., return to its source. It would rather not be that it may be, as well with him. This causes him to feel absolute bliss. Ine is the most precious gift of all, and it gave it back to be with him. My sorrow and my pain and my loneliness, paradoxically, increase the net level of agape in the Godhead, because it indicates that I would rather return to him in preference to being, to possessing Ine. Thus, to my surprise, I find that my suffering restores the Godhead and augments it. He knows why I suffer, although I do not. Human sorrow, then, is a source of joy, a means to joy, in which the now sorrowing person will later share. When he returns as I did in 1117 AD, sorrow is a means to infinite bliss. It's instrument, and we can't see this until it completes itself, comes full cycle. To know this is the great secret.